Welcome to Stories After Midnight. Today we'll be reading a story called Forced Equality. It's from a collection of stories by Tobias Wade called 54 Sleepless Nights. I really hope you enjoy it, and if you do, consider picking yourself up a copy and supporting this great author. Links will be in the description to his book. Let's get started. My brother isn't better than me. I need you to understand this before you judge what happened to him. He isn't better at school, even though my parents act like he's smarter, just for being a few years ahead. And he didn't get a girlfriend first either, because no one believes the stuff he pretended he did with his mystery girl. He isn't even better at basketball. He's just tall, which is basically cheating as far as I'm concerned. But none of that would bother me if it wasn't for his snotty attitude. This all started at one of our high school games. The score was close, and my brother was selfish enough to suggest everyone pass every ball to him. Didn't matter if he was being blocked, didn't matter if I was open, just trust him because he was on a lucky streak. I told him it was a stupid idea. It was the beginning of the season and the game basically didn't matter. But my team only cared about winning, so they agreed. It pissed me off so much that winning didn't even feel good, because I knew I could have made the same shots if my team gave me the same chance. Then everyone would have been cheering for me instead. I told my girlfriend Ava about it, and she completely agreed with me. Then she told me about this equality club that she was getting into. Missing the first few meetups didn't matter either, because it's the only school club that didn't rank people or exclude them for any reason. Ava went on and on about how hard it was for weirdos and disabled kids to feel accepted and valued. I guess I made a big deal about how the whole society should work that way. I just wanted Ava to know I was a good person or whatever. Shut up, you've probably done it too. I wasn't that clear with what goes on in the club, but when she invited me, I didn't see how I could back out. The lights were all out in the club room, and the blinds were drawn. I couldn't see much more than silhouettes, but I guess that wasn't good enough because someone handed me a blindfold before they let me in. I heard Ava's voice across the room and felt my way across, bumping into an empty desk every other step along the way. "It's because one of the members is blind," Ava explained. "We give everyone the opportunity to walk in her shoes to help us understand how hard that would be." "This is cool. It feels like being in a fort at school." "It is not cool. Imagine trying to cross the street. You'd never drive, ever, and say goodbye to ever moving away from your parents or any hope of a normal, oops, I mean, like an abled person life. There's no such thing as normal, and we don't use violent words like that, which make everyone outside of one narrow definition feel excluded. You know, you take for granted how privileged you really are." You're right. It would suck being blind. I'm really going to appreciate seeing stuff from now on, I swear. Like you, for instance." It was damn dark, but I'm pretty sure that was the right thing to say. "We've got all kinds of club activities too. A lot of team building stuff, and games, and races, and charity and community work." She was leading me by the hand now, and that fact was more important than wherever she was taking me. I think she was peeking underneath her blindfold, but I couldn't really point that out if I was supposed to be blind. "How do you do races where everybody wins?" I asked. "Duh, there's still a winner. We just make everything equal first. Like if somebody is really fast, we make them spin a few circles and get dizzy first to make it fair. It actually makes it a lot more competitive, and that makes it closer and more fun. Tonight, we're going to be splitting up into groups and collecting donations around the neighborhood. Don't worry, you'll get to take the blindfold off first." It was a fun group of people, and I felt good about myself for raising money to rebuild burned homes. I was nervous when it was my turn to knock on a door, but everyone was clustered around to support me, and the old prune who greeted me was bubbling with generosity. Those houses were on the rare side, though. Most people wouldn't answer at all, or would try to get rid of us as soon as they could. We'd even catch some peeking out their window and scowling at us without ever opening the door. If they seemed really mean, we'd laugh and sing at them to prove they couldn't ruin our good time. Then, we hit a long stretch where every single person seemed angry to see us. These people with their perfect houses and their safe families were the ones acting like victims. Seeing them angry made me even madder. Because seriously, How dare someone get mad at people working for charity? Yet, here they were, stomping and cussing as if the great injustice of the world was forcing them off their couch for a minute to deal with us. They only do it because they feel guilty, Ava told me in her lofty and knowing way. Deep down, they're ashamed of themselves for not being willing to help, and so they lash out at us to deflect. I don't get what his deal was. He could have just said no thanks. It's not like he didn't have a choice. Well, he made the wrong choice, Ava declared bitterly. And why is it fair that they get to choose anyway? Did the people who lost their homes get to choose where the fire went? Ava really snapped at the next one. A middle-aged woman who looked like she still hasn't forgiven her children for being born gave us the middle finger through a window. It was a super fancy house with a big pool on the side too, which only added insult to injury. Ava shouted and called her a Karen, and things went downhill from there. The woman came out of her house, a frilly purse gripped in both hands like it was that child she probably wanted to strangle. "Out! Out! Before I call the police!" the woman howled. "Do you know you're standing on private property?" Ava stepped forward, smiling brightly as though the exchange had never happened. "Good evening, fine lady," she articulated in a particularly British voice. "We are collecting donations to rebuild. I've got a gun in my purse. I want you gone, you understand?" Ava was trembling in anger all over. "I'm just staying out of it. Glad she has never looked at me like that." I never expected her hand to strike out and seize hold of the woman's purse handle. Their eyes locked like two bulldogs in love. The Karen gaped incredulously, unable to believe her eyes. One of her hands fluttered to her heart in horror, and Ava took the opportunity to dig in her heels and rip the bag clean away. Ava ran, and we all ran after her. Feet pounding the pavement, hearts racing through our ears, heaving through the side splints kind of running. We went about 5 blocks before Ava stopped for breath, still clutching the woman's purse in a gleeful euphoria. "It's not fair," Ava said between gulps of air. "That woman has everything. These people have nothing. It's not right at all." She looks both ways down the street before hunching over the purse and digging her hand inside. She pulled out a wallet, from which she clutched a fistful of cash. "Give me the credit cards before they're canceled. I can donate on the website," another said enthusiastically. A car pulled to a screech in front of us and we all jumped bad. My heart was already going so fast, and for a second I was sure I was about to get arrested, until I recognized the familiar scars on my brother's old junker car. Everyone else was freaking out until my brother got out of the car. They calmed down once they recognized him, although Ava was still as worked up as ever. "Where have you been? Mom has been worried sick," my brother told me. "Hop in the car and let's go." "That was a rotten thing you did at the last game," Ava snapped, her face still as flushed as ever. "Why didn't you give your brother a shot?" "Come on, Ava, you're embarrassing me," I mumbled to her. "We'll give you a ride." My brother snorted and smirked. "What's the big deal? We won, didn't we?" Ava dropped the purse to the ground, now thrusting the stubby, silver gun she found toward my brother. Her pretty face all twisted with spittle, spraying as she spoke. "It wasn't fair! Make it fair!" The gun went off, and my brother jumped in the same moment. I thought he dodged it at first, but he was only reacting to the bullet blasting through his foot. The others descended on him while he lay on the ground, kicking and laughing. I staggered to help him, every wet impact crushing my stomach. "You think you're better than your brother? You're better than nobody," Ava roared. There was a shock of recognition about what they were doing as some lurched back. They shook all over as I pulled them away from my brother, each terrified by the others and by themselves. Ava was still the last to leave, getting in another 2 solid kicks before she snapped out of it, her brow furrowed as though coming out of a dream. Her skin grew pale as she watched my brother squirming and limping back into the car. "You're a nobody," she said again, spitting after him. "Come on, babe. We've got a few more neighborhoods to hit tonight." "Those houses aren't going to rebuild themselves." "Coming, babe. Later, bro. Looking forward to our next game," I called after my brother as his car tore down the street. I felt good about my chances this time. That's the end of this story. If you liked it, let me know in the comments. If not, let me know. But I appreciate you sticking by and appreciate you listening all the same. If you'd like to, you can come join our Discord and hang out with us. It's a pretty chill place. And if you'd like to support the channel even more, there is a Discord you can join where you get some sick early access and some other things in between. So I really hope you enjoyed it. And I guess I say this in every video, but we'll see you in the next one.